Hockey talk. Hockey talk. Hockey talk.
In the movies, they always go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
Hey, that's right. We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
We've seen Fourier on skates before, so all of the talk is nonsense.
They're dinosaurs. They know how to, survive.
I got to shout out Razor. That donut's for him.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plates. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
Well, we know the Bruins are out of the postseason, and, Fourier still doesn't believe in the power of playoff hockey. Joining us now, our guy Andrew Razor Raycroft of WEEI and Nesson. Razor, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are we doing?
Oh, you sound pretty good. Thought we'd get depressed. Woe is me. Well, I don't know. You know, the season's over, and you have nothing to do with your life anymore, and it's going to be, I don't know, just driving the kids to their practices and being a house mom. I figured you'd be bummed out.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's lots to do. There's golf. It's 80 degrees tomorrow. Yeah. And, you know, there's more than enough things to do. Yes, I will be driving maybe a little bit more, but, lots of good stuff coming up.
All right, how do you sum up that goal that was given up to lose it for the Bruins? It's between the legs of a defenseman to the short side of the goalie. Is that a whoopsie? Is that a, oh my God, I can't believe that went in? What was the reaction when that puck hit the back of the net?
It was just, unlucky. The margin that you play, you live and die on in the playoffs, and you watch that over again and you say, well, that could have happened to the Bruins 28 times in the game. There was 28 of those that could have happened. And unfortunately, it went against the Bruins, but they played a great game in game six. They fought right to the end. And of course, it would be nice if all the teams could keep going through. But pretty good effort from the Bruins to get to game six in the second round this year.
See, Razor, I predicted you would say that at around 10:20, and Gresh was like, no way. I said that you would excuse this one away to puck luck.
Well, no, I mean, the goal itself?
Yeah.
Or like the whole, yeah, no, that goal itself is
the whole series, really.
Guys, well, no, the whole series doesn't go down to puck luck. The better team won. I think at the end of the day, the Bruins had to outscore. And unfortunately, they kind of underscored. They had so many opportunities in game six. They had five or six chances in the second, game four, game two in the first period. They had to maximize all of their scoring chances and couldn't just hang on to 2-1 leads against this Florida team. That we knew. And listen, there's a reason why Florida won the division. It's a reason why they went to the Stanley Cup Finals last season and why they're in the conference finals again. They're a really good hockey team. And for the Bruins to have beaten them, they would have had to, players would have had to outscore their potential or what they typically do. And unfortunately, it was right around where it was. And that's, again, I think for me, it's a testament of how hard these guys worked, how hard they battled to take this Florida team to six games and to get to the second round the way they did. It was impressive.
So with that, I mean, you know, if they can't finish and if they, they can't score, was that, and I think I've asked you this before, because the same themes keep coming up during losses, that they can't finish, they can't score enough, they don't have enough options. That's not personnel, or is that personnel, or is that execution? Because they're getting the opportunities, they just can't close it out. So that tells me that the personnel is not, they're just not good enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think anyone's, and these guys all play great, but Morgan Geeky on the first line isn't the same as Connor McDavid on the first line, and so yeah, they're listen, the Bruins, like everybody else in the National Hockey League, were up against the cap. They were over the cap essentially at the draft last year. There's no trades. There's no way to get they maximized everything they could out of the off season last year and all the pieces they lost last season and for them again to get to this point. And I think it was quite impressive. And now they can build from that. I just see it as a huge positive, a huge building point from where they're at right now. I don't know what I haven't really listened a lot this morning. I don't know what the real narrative out there is, but it's really hard to be the top eight team in the National Hockey League. I think we're seeing that. Like, the teams that just got beat out, the Colorado Avalanche, the Carolina Hurricanes, and one of the Vancouver Canucks or the Edmonton Oilers, to be one of those four teams is really good. So, again, I think there's lots of salary cap. There's lots of moves to be made this summer, and I think the Bruins are in a wonderful place.
While they are in a wonderful place, Razor, what was a part of the Bruins' play in losing this series that maybe irked you the most that the Bruins might hone in on and say, we got to get this fixed right away?
Well, it's the scoring. It's the finishing of chances, the power play you could add to that. And again, it's personnel. I think they can find some good players. Right now, they're at $21 million underneath the salary cap. That's just right now. That can open up with some trades or some movement, which will happen in the NHL. Last year, there was zero trades. No one could do anything last season, and that will all be different this season. So you will actually be able to make transactions and maybe pick some players that are on other teams that you think can make yourself better. So they have more than enough opportunities over the next 6 weeks to improve their team, and I'm sure they have those names all targeted right now, and they're going through those discussions. But there's it's the power play. I think what we saw from the goaltending and the defense and the penalty kill is much, much, much above standard in the National Hockey League for them to continue to be good.
Yeah, so we're talking to Andrew Raycroft, and what I feel like I'm hearing is that you feel like this team overachieved based on what their expectations were, because I feel like I hear that in some of the players as well.
I think so, yeah. They thought they could win the Stanley Cup, right? Like, that's how you think as a player. I think just overall, if you had told me at the start of this season, after losing Bergeron, losing Krejci, Hall, Orlov, having the disappointment of last season, and you told me they're going to lose in game six in the second round after having 109 points in the regular season, I would have signed up for that and not looked back. So in all of those ways, you say, yes, they underachieved. Of course, you go through this series, you're like, oh, they were so close here, they were so close there. But at the end of the day, and you step back from it, yeah, no question. This team was exciting. It was fun, and they provide a lot of entertainment for everyone. And they've got some new pieces that are exciting.
Razor, are you starting to wonder, like I think us and some fans are starting to wonder, if certain guys are really made for the postseason? And I know David Pastrnak's an unbelievable scorer, and the whole point of game and the playoffs, all that averages out. But as you know, and we've discussed, there are times where the guy disappears. Does more talent help him not disappear as much, or is his game just not made for the ruggedness of the postseason?
Well, with all due respect,
please,
that is the craziest thing in the entire world that I've ever heard about hockey.
Why?
Because he gets a point a game, and he's up against the best players in the national, in the world, are up against David every single night come playoff time, where there's no room, there's less opportunities, and again, I repeat, he's a point a game player in his career in the playoffs. He's gone to the Stanley Cup Finals. He's gone to the second round three times. So the idea that he can't, it's crazy. It's like, no, 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 no. It's nuts. I don't know. That would never come out of somebody's mouth who really knows anything about hockey. And I don't mean you. I mean, like, in general, when I hear people say that, it's crazy.
But then why does he disappear for stretches? That's the part that gets me.
Because it's really hard to score and play to score every game in the playoffs. It's really hard to score in the playoffs. Like, go look at where was Matthew Tkachuk in the second round? Are you saying he's a bad hockey player and a bad playoff player? He didn't do anything for four games in the series against the Bruins. Like, it's really just hard to score every game in the playoffs. That's why.
Spicy Razor.
But he's got a point per game in his career. So.
Okay. Right, it's a point per game in the career in the playoffs, but it feels like they also bunch up at times as well. I think that is because I understand what you're saying about Tkachuk. I also think Pasta is a better player than Tkachuk. and a better goal scorer, in my opinion. But again, I understand the essence of your question, but I think people are kind of, I see it the same way with Pastrnak sometimes. There's sometimes where he's great, and then there are sometimes where I just feel like he disappears. And it does make me wonder about the loss of a guy like Patrice Bergeron and being able to have someone like that who was a good table setter, responsible up the middle, to where maybe you could turn those guys loose a little bit more. Do you think there was any of that going on and not having that true sort of number one center to be able to match up at times with Pasta?
Sure, that's a whole nother question or answer or conversation, though. That has nothing to do with David. But, of course, it's, you know, losing David Krejci, who's led the playoffs in scoring twice in his career, losing that guy to help take some of that pressure that I just said, where you have Aaron Ekblad or Forsling following you around on the ice nonstop, that certainly would help David Pastrnak and open things or free things up. But he was basically a one-man machine for the Bruins to score at times. Don't forget, right, remember, in the big moments, the biggest of this entire playoff moment was David Pastrnak scoring in overtime in Game 7 on home ice. So he did, you know, that just proves, again, how important and how good he is, because he found to show up in the biggest moment of this playoff run for the Bruins as well. So, no, of course, he's going to need someone to play with. Hopefully the Bruins can find that centerman out there in free agency or through a trade to help him. But again, that's different than David not, you know, being a playoff player.
So, Razor, now, as far as things to do, like your Bruins to-do list, you have, obviously, Omar, who's probably going to get traded. I wonder what you think about that. And obviously, you know, I know, Swayman is a restricted free agent, but obviously getting him tied up as well. What needs to happen first?
I'm not sure. It'll probably be Swayman first, I suppose, just on the typical, but this is completely like typical timing of things. Usually you want to get your guys signed, and then you kind of go through the draft. You get to the draft, and then that's when the deals usually get made. Of course, that could be a little bit different depending
but
Allmark, on
but
when.
Allmark's, but we had to cut you off, but Allmark is not on this team next year, right?
I highly doubt it, yeah. He's got 15 teams that he can get traded to. I would assume from his personal point of view that he wants to go and play. It's the end of it's last year in his deal. He won the Vezina Trophy last season. And you, from the Bruins' point of view, you're gonna, you know, you can't have, you'd really rather not have over $10 million tied up in goaltending. So that they will have if they keep both of these guys, because Swayman's getting paid. So I would expect Allmark to be going somewhere else, and hopefully, you know, and hopefully the Bruins can make a good deal for both him and the team.
Yeah.
Because he was a really good player for them, and he had an incredible season last year and really did a lot for this Bruins team the last 3 years.
In terms of Swayman, does this get done easily? There's still another year of restricted free agency. I'm not saying that the Bruins are cheap or anything. However, they're very mindful of the cap. You highlighted some of those issues earlier. Is this a pretty easy deal to get done with Swayman, or do they still need to get a little bloody over this?
Well, all deals get bloody on some level. I don't think it's just here, you know, it's not a complete blank check for Jeremy, but it's certainly much clearer than what they went through last season. Last year, Jeremy didn't play until game 7 of the playoffs. He'd only played half the games. This year, the Bruins know what Jeremy Swayman is. There's no doubt about that. They can lean into that, and Jeremy can now get the longer term deal that I assume that he's looking for. So you always beat each other up a little bit through the negotiation, but it's certainly much simpler and much clearer from my point of view for both sides of feeling good about what they provide to the team.
Razor, you got to settle a bet for me that I have with Gresh.
Oh boy.
Okay. So I know NBA players, when their season is over, it's 1-2-3 Cancun. They all go to Cancun. Okay, that's where they go.
Yeah.
If I said 1-2-3 for all the Bruins players, hockey players, where would they be going when the season is over?
Where are guys going right now? Usually not there. Like, no one really goes south now because it's too hot. Like, guys, you typically go back home. Like, you kind of get out of town right away. So, they probably hang out, team meal. Maybe there's a team dinner tonight. Maybe it was last night. Maybe it's tomorrow night. And then the single guys are going back home, or they're going to meet their buddies. Maybe that, you know, maybe Vegas for a couple days. If you're single, hang out with your buddies, take them out for a couple days. The married guys are just locked in. Like, none of the married guys are doing anything. They're just getting back to, like, real life, because basically the last 4 weeks they've been locked in playoff mode. So it's not nearly as fun. Like,
Don't say anything, Gresh.
Just give Fournier the answer he's looking for.
Well, because I don't think he really understood the question. You know, these Canadians, you never know what they're thinking. I said Portugal because you were bragging about your trip to Portugal, Turkey, Europe. Like, you were like, I feel like that's where hockey players go.
Yeah, guys. There's definitely a ton of European vacations. I know. Like,
there's the answer. There it is. That's all. Thank you. You gave us the answer.
There'll be a wedding, a Bruin wedding over there, I'm assuming, in the summer. So the guys will get over there. I thought you meant like today. I thought you meant this week. But yeah, I mean,
it's Europe. Yeah, the answer is Europe, right? It's 1, 2, 3 Europe.
Europe is very fancy or very normal for guys because they like the culture and they like to go over there and they see buddies that are over there. So, yeah,
okay.
Maybe Spain.
You finally got around to telling him what he wanted to hear.
Well, yeah, I did a bad job answering the question.
You did. Really, Razor, the right answer is they don't go to Cancun, they go to Saskatoon.
Yes, that was more. That would have been more of my answer if it was exactly. Because, Jake DeBrusk is going back to Edmonton probably as soon as he can to see everybody and hang out. And, that's what I should do now?
Here's what I should do now. I'll do what the hockey players do, Gresh. Oh, sorry, I had a cramp. I couldn't get the question out right. So now that the interview is over, Razor, I could admit to all the problems I had over the last 15 minutes.
I had a cramp.
We haven't gotten to
Fournier wondering why everybody rolls out their injuries after the season.
You're the big, tough football guy that rolls them out on Wednesday to have excuses built in before you even play the game.
Oh.
I got it. Yeah.
Well, you could have hit him. You could have hit him with Razor. The league that is most notorious for lying about injuries. Man from league who lies about injuries points finger at man whose league doesn't disclose injuries. What is worse?
Well, in a way, they're
617-779-7937. How about they're all full of crap when it comes to injuries?
I think it's funny. I just think that whole aspect is funny. We'll get to it later.
Except in the NBA, where we get to learn that Porzingis gets to pick the music when he's working out in Cleveland before game six or whatever.
Oh, yeah, let's not bring the basketball guys into this in any way whatsoever. But no, the other thing, but why is anyone asking, too? It's kind of on now that we're all part of the media here a little bit. Like, I don't think they wouldn't just, like, go ahead and say it. It's like the media can't – that's, like, the favorite hockey media question at the end of the season, too, right? Like, it's a bit of a circle for everyone because, again, the media guys can't wait to get in there and, like, who's hurt? Like, you know, the guys would probably rather not talk about it.
Especially
the ones on contracts.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
contracts. The guy who needs a contract doesn't really want to talk about his MCL surgery that he's having in 2 weeks.
Jake DeBrusk kind of rolling out, you know, his dings and stuff like that. It does make you wonder how it affects them going into a free agency. Well, Razor, we can't thank you enough. We've leaned on you as hard as the Bruins leaned on Jeremy Swayman for the hockey talk. So we do appreciate it. You gave Fournier all the answers he was looking for. Now you can go back to giving everyone else the real answers that you normally would give people, non-Fournier.
Ah, geez, sorry. I got to
go. No, I'm certainly Gresh. Gresh won the bet, and no, it's a blast. You guys know how much fun I have coming on, so I appreciate all of it. And
we'll
see you through the.
As soon as there's hockey breaking news, well, you'll be the first one we're calling.
No, all we have to do is text Razor and say, "Hey, can you make it to X Country Club on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock for a free 18?"
Yeah.
We'll see him in a heartbeat.
That would help. That would definitely help.
Then get him there. All right, brother. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Love it, guys.
There we go. We love our guy Razor. He's the best. Andrew Razor Raycroft joining us here once again with Gresh and Fourier.